Amen.
Amen. Okay, before church, we passed out some church calendars. We're going to go over that really quickly. If you did not get one and you'd like to have one, please raise your hand. It's a 2023 calendar. They're probably sitting in your seats if you were part of the choir. And if you did not get one and would like to have one, just raise your hand. Mr. Bateman would be glad to bring you one. Okay, and just go over this very quickly. The reason why we do this now is so that way everyone knows about the main events coming up, so that way people will not say, hey, I didn't know, and they schedule their vacation or they schedule other things. And I still have people say that even though we give it to them in January or February, they say, in October, I didn't know about it. Well, this is your chance to know about it. Obviously, in February, it's our Ladies Appreciation Luncheon. I Love My Church Sunday, and there's a senior luncheon. Missions Conference is also marked there on the 8th to the 12th. On the 11th, we're going to have the Saturday during a missions conference. We're going to do the same thing we did last year. We're going to have a men's and boys breakfast with the missionaries, the male missionaries, obviously, and the ladies and girls luncheon with the female missionaries that are represented. And then on Sunday night during the evening service, we're going to have our international dinner. We had it last year. We enjoyed it. At least I enjoyed it. A number of people enjoyed doing it that way. On Saturday night, we're going to try something a little different. We're going to offer some child care for the missionaries, so that way the mom and dad missionaries who have, if they're on furlough or on deputation many times, don't have a chance to spend much time alone, to give them a chance to have a date night and go out and do things together if they want that. If they might not trust us with their kids, or they might have other plans, whatever. But if you'd like to be a part of helping with the missionary children on that Saturday night, that's something that we're going to try to do on that March 11th. It's a busy week, so no one's required to do that. But if you'd like to, if you would enjoy that, if you have children that you'd like to come and be a part of that so they can be around the missionary children, that I think that'd be a great encouragement and blessing there for both sides of the children. April 8th, there is going to be a children's church activity. April 9th is going to be our Easter program. It says April, adult activity, and the TBD means to be determined. We'd like to do a few things with their adults this year, besides senior luncheons, looking for suggestions and things like that. So you're welcome to give some feedback for that. May, we're, instead of a spring revival, we're having something called a family conference. And our family conference is going to be, the Paulies are going to be here with us. Brother Scott Pauley, many of you know, he's been here. He's preached a friend day for us. Many of you listen to his podcast and other things. He's an encouragement to a lot of us. He's going to be here, and his mom and his dad's going to be here, and they're going to have, we're going to have a, when we say a conference, that means that there's going to be main speaking sessions, and there'll also be what's called breakout sessions. I've been in a number of conferences over the years. They've always been an encouragement and help. Wanted to have one here for a while. We've done it a few times for our ladies, and I think it's going to be a great blessing and encouragement there. So that's May 12th through the 14th. That is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Friday evening, Saturday morning, and then Brother Paulie will be preaching for, Scott Paulie will be preaching for us in Sunday school and Sunday morning on Mother's Day. As you see there, Mother's Day service, we're going to have a meal after the service and then no evening service because we've been in church, and there's going to be plenty of sessions and services on that Friday and Saturday. In June, there's a senior luncheon. There's junior camp there, the 12th through the 14th. We'll be hosting it here for our church young people. Teen camp, the 19th to the 23rd. We'll give a little bit more details about that to the teenagers here within the next week or so. July 2nd, we're going to have I Love America Sunday, afternoon meal and service. Then have Kids Crusade, the 24th through the 28th. That's a week earlier than we do it. Sometimes we go to last week in July. Sometimes it's that in-between week of July and August. And sometimes it's the first week of August. But we're going to try that this year. We already have our theme. We already have some of our decorations and things like that. So looking forward to that. August, the senior luncheon is on the 8th. September, we have our fall revival with the McBride family. It's been a few years since they've been actually here. They have done it via the internet because of the COVID 1 year, and then the other year was because of the riots that they were talking about having. So they're going to be here with us. They're going to be doing our friend day, and that's going to be the 24th through the 27th. I know many of you are looking forward to that. If you haven't heard Brother McBride preach, he's encouragement and blessing. His family comes, usually his wife and his one daughter come with him, and they are a blessing and encouragement through music. October, looking at another possible adult activity there. November, Veterans Sunday. I enjoyed Veterans Sunday. and I think it was a good turnout and also a good thing to do. So we're going to try that again, afternoon meal and service. Then our prayer and praise service, Christmas parade, adult Christmas banquet, and Christmas program. Now, obviously, as time gets a little bit closer to these months, things will fill in some more things, but those are the big things that most everybody is associated with, and especially those revivals, missions conference, Christmas programs, family conference, all those different things. We want you to have those on your calendar ahead of time, so when you're making choices that you'll say, hey, I need to make sure we leave this week off so we can be here for that, because that's what we want. We want our church family to be encouraged by that. We don't have these meetings just to have a meeting. We have these meetings because we desire for God to work in our hearts, and we believe as we set some time aside that God will help us. Okay, after all that being said, let's go to Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. Last two Sunday mornings in Sunday school, we began talking about being an overcomer, talking about there's many times when people, sometimes in solitary confinement and sometimes in the crowd itself, devout Muslims. Andrew said that cell was like living inside a mosque, only more intense. The prisoners there would all held under suspicion of political crimes, hoped that the fervency in repeating their prayers would result in their release. Finally, after 2 years, Andrew stood trial. Only it was a kangaroo court that intended to convict him to 3 life sentences for collaborating with political enemies of the current government, people he had never even met. In God's providence, Andrew was able to preach the gospel at his trial. He says, I stood in front of the microphone. His testimony was, I stood in front of the microphone and listened to my opening words echo around the hall. The most important thing in my life is my faith. I decided that even though I was in court, I was going to preach. Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and proclaim the good news of salvation to everyone and make disciples. This is why I came to Turkey, to proclaim this. There is only one way to God, Jesus. There's only one way to have our sins forgiven, Jesus. There's only one way to gain eternal life, Jesus. There's only one Savior, Jesus. And I want this to echo in all of Turkey. Also, in God's providence, it says America's President Donald Trump at the time became intensely interested in Andrew's case. During the final months of Andrew's imprisonment, the Trump administration made it clear to the Turkish president that releasing Andrew was a priority to the United States, and eventually imposing sanctions and raising tariffs until Andrew was ultimately released in October 2018. Now, you think about it. What would you want to ask him? And this is what he said was the most difficult part of this difficult part was. In an interview after his release, Andrew explained the most challenging aspect of those long months of imprisonment was, I didn't know that I was going to get out. I spent 2 years there, but I didn't know that it was going to be only 2 years. I thought, 3 life sentences, I may die here. Really, it's the uncertainty that often tests our hearts. Yes, uncertainty does test the hearts, and all of us face it. It may not be a foreign prison cell or on false charges, but chances are you have looming unknowns in your life. So how can we enjoy a journey when we don't even know what the journey is headed towards? Think about it. Sometimes when the most difficult things that we're dealing with, the hardships and the trials, is just not knowing how things are going to turn out. Sometimes our hearts can be burdened and disturbed over the events unfolding around us over which we have no control. Sometimes our spirits sink over unraveling of the moral fabrics of our nation. And sometimes we wrestle with the uncertainties of our personal lives and we wonder, what in the world is God doing in all this? It's difficult to be an overcomer if we live in fear of the unknown, when the future is undefined. And as we come to this spot in Genesis chapter 12, I want to encourage you with someone today who did not let the fear of the unknown stop him from serving God. Most of you would know who that is. It's Abraham. You say, well, what do you mean by Abraham? Abraham, the unknown, that's exactly what it was, is the unknown. God had made him promises of what he was going to do, but he did not tell him how he was going to accomplish that. And even over those years, he waited and waited. And over those years, he saw many times testing of his faith over and over. But you see a man who is known as the friend of God. The only person that's mentioned in the Bible specifically with that title, the friend of God. I think that's pretty cool. And I think what Abraham learned over those years was how to be the friend of God. Because he learned something. He learned how to enjoy the journey. Now, I often use this as a thought, is could you imagine if you were Abraham going home to tell your wife that God told you to go somewhere? Can you imagine what the conversation might have been like? And you can put in your own mind, you go home and you see your wife there. He's 75 and she's 65. And once again, that's not young. And Abraham is talking about leaving something that was comfortable and something that was under his control, the area where he was at, to go to some place that was uncertain and uncomfortable. And he walks up to his wife and says, hey, God told us to move. God told us to go to another land. And first, I'm sure the wife would have been skeptical no matter what, but she says, okay, where does God want us to go? He's like, I don't know. And I imagine if you were a lady and they told you that. Where does God want us? Not sure. How long does God want us to stay? Not sure. Will we ever see our family again? Not sure. You know, there's all these different questions that might come to your mind. And I think ladies are a little bit better at coming up with all those questions and saying, well, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And Abraham's like, I don't know the answer. Abraham's journey, the amazing thing for me when I read through the story of Abraham, it wasn't how long the journey was. It wasn't the over the 1,000 miles he traveled in those 25 years before Isaac came. But the faith it took for him to take that journey. It was a journey of the unknown. So, Pastor, he's already been told that he's going to have promises. Hey, we've all been told we've been going to have promises. We've all been told that we're going to reap what we sow. We've all been told if we go forth bearing precious seed, doubtless will come again. That book is filled with promises. Now, yes, they might not be to the extent of Abraham's promises, but God's not asking us to go to the extent many times that he's asked Abraham to do. At this age, to get up and leave your family, look what it says in Genesis 12. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee all families of the earth be blessed. Faith is essential in our relationship with God. It's where it begins. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's essential if we're going to have a relationship, and it's the very establishing of our relationship with him. Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you're saved today, there's a time in your life, by faith, you put your faith and trust in him. You recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, saw that you were dying and going to a horrible place called hell, and you cry out to God by faith and trusting what he did and that completed work on the cross. That's how our relationship began, but that's also how we're going to enjoy this journey. We could look at it one way, and Abraham could be worried and scared throughout the whole entire time and not trusting the Lord, not learning from him, not understanding what God is doing and seeing how God is working. But then I don't think he would have been called the friend of God. The friendship begins because of the faith that's there. Because with faith, God is able to reveal what his will is for your life. Step by step, as you take that first step, God can show you the light for the next step. Romans 4:3 puts it this way, for what saith the scripture, Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. Remember, if we're going to enjoy the journey of the unknown, if we're going to not live in fear of what's going to happen tomorrow, we must have faith. The Bible says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So the first point, besides meet Abraham, a man that was not afraid of the unknown, meet the friend of God. The next thing is faith to begin the journey. Faith to begin the journey. If the only way you're going to enjoy this journey in your Christian life is you take that step of faith. Many of us will sit and not do anything. Many of us will stay in their spot. But God has given them a command, and God's given us all commands to go into all the world. God's given us all commands and promises. But look what it says in verse number 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Sometimes we so complicate our Christian life that it becomes overwhelming. This morning we talked about in our Sunday school class about burdens that we carry, and it's such a load that we carry that so many times God's never intended for us to carry those things. God has never intended for us to be fearful of the unknown. He has always desired that we will trust him. He's never intended for us to live a life of worry and anxiousness or a life of concern and the fact that not knowing what he's going to do next. He desires for us to say, Lord, if you've called me, I will go. Lord, if you'll show me, I will follow you. But faith is something that we complicate. Faith is something that becomes overwhelming because we don't simply just take God at his word. When we receive his revealed word, by faith we follow it. And now we can make this true in any situations, in any area. By faith, I'm going to forgive. By faith, I'm going to be kind. By faith, I'm going to witness. By faith, I'm going to pray. By faith, I'm going to do this. I'm going to obey. By faith, I'm going to submit. By faith, I'm going to love. By faith, all those different things. Hebrews 11:8 puts it this way. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should receive after for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. So he took those first steps. Too often we approach the Bible with the attitude, God, you tell me what you're going to do, then I'll decide if I want to do it. God, you just show me what it is you want me to do. You show me, and then I'll decide if it fits in my agenda. You're not going to enjoy the journey that way. You're not going to have an embrace of a friendship with God with that attitude. That's the entirely wrong approach. Instead, we should approach it with a commitment to obey before we even know what God has told us. Once again, imagine Sarah's response. Well, what about this happening or that happening? God does not need to reveal everything to us. Instead, we must just by faith take those steps he's asked us to do and say, God, I'm just trusting you. For faith to be real, it must be exercised. For faith to be real, it must be exercised. Sometimes we tell ourselves we're walking by faith, but in all reality, all we're doing is thinking and talking about walking by faith. We say, I walk by faith. I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. If Abraham would have just sat there and stayed home and talked about how much he loved the Lord and how much he trusted the Lord, would he have been trusting God? He wouldn't have been. He wouldn't have been walking by faith. Faith acts on what it knows. Faith acts on the things that has been revealed unto them. If you went to Hebrews chapter 11, you would see a list. I believe it's about 16 different times, this phrase, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith, 16 times, 15 times is connected. But listen to these men of God and these women of God. By faith, Abel offered God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet. As you consider these stories, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying. By faith, Joseph, when he died. By faith, Moses, when he was born. By faith, Moses, when he came to years. By faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. Over and over and over, what do you see? Action. That's what demonstrates faith. It's action. It's not just sitting there and saying, I have faith in God. It's believing what's been revealed and then responding to it. There's no such thing as a passive faith. Faith moves us. Faith helps us to trust, to walk, to work, to build, to obey, all while relying on a faithful God. Not only is faith active, but there's something here that faith expects something on the journey. You say, well, I don't expect anything from God. You should. He's given you these promises. He's told you if we lean down to our own understanding, he'll lead us, he'll direct us. So
Abraham here has been told in verse number 2, he's going to be made a great nation. Hey, you leave, Abraham. I'm going to bless you. This is what I'm going to do. And as I live by faith, I expect God to keep his promises. That's the whole point of living by faith. It's the whole point is, God, you've told me that you will supply my needs. God, you told me you'll never leave me nor forsake me. God, you told me you'll give me the strength and power to handle these things. God, you've told me this and you told me that. And by faith, there's an expectation that, God, you're going to keep your word. It expects something. Not only is it the faith to begin, but it's faith to expect something on the journey. God attaches his promises to the instructions he gives to Abraham. Abraham obeyed and delighted those promises, and ultimately Abraham expected by faith that God was going to answer that. And that's how he becomes a friend of God. He trusts him. It was the daily journey of following God that cultivated a close relationship with God in his life. And sometimes we're not close to the Lord is because we're not daily cultivating that relationship because we're not spending time with him. Because we're afraid of the unknown, we don't take that journey as he's called us. Through the journey of faith, we learn the real process of journeying with God is a blessing. It's not when the great answers or prayers come or the mighty works that we see God do in our lives and our family and our ministry. It's knowing that God is there with you and God is truly our reward. We cast ourselves upon God and we trust in God. We become desperate for God. It's when he reveals himself. You go to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a very disappointing time in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. He says, I am thy shield, in this last phrase, and thy exceeding great reward. Abram, it's not about their child. That's coming. It's not about the thousands and how you're going to be a blessing to all the nations. That's coming. He says, the great reward in this whole entire journey is me. He says, I'm thy exceeding great reward. Think about how long it took for God to give this promise to Abraham. You consider it was over 400 years before his family actually made it back and possessed the land. Over 500 years, probably, if you add it up. But Abraham, while he's alive, these 25 years of just walking by faith and walking by faith with the expectation that God is going to answer his promise, that's where faith comes in. Now, we know that Abraham was not perfect. Abraham lived this out. Abraham struggled in certain times. But if we will rejoice by faith when we see that God is able, it's easy to rejoice when we see God answering the problems. It's easy to rejoice when God's fulfilling the promises. But it's during those seasons of the unknown that we learn to value our friendship with God. If we would learn to enjoy the journey, it's because during those seasons where we do not know what's going to come around the corner, as I told those young people that you might consider a lie, embrace the feeling of the roller coaster. That's the fun part. It's the same thing with God. It's as you don't know what's coming around the corner, but you know who's going around the corner with you, and you depend upon him, you trust in him. And even if he brings something into your life that's going to cause you to get closer to him, that's more valuable than being comfortable, and that's more valuable than being in control. It's instead learning that God is the exceeding great reward. It's when we walk with God through heartbreak, through waiting, through grief, through loss, through loneliness and poverty. Those are the days that our faith is tried, and those are the days where we learn to turn and trust in him, and he strengthens our faith. Do we enjoy this journey? We won't enjoy it unless we're living by faith. Now, you might get things out of the world, but if you're truly a born-again Christian, those desires, those things that are most important in your life, truly is not going to happen unless we walk by faith. So why does uncertainty have such a profound effect on our faith? Why is it that we allow the uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen stop us? It's because those days we learn to cast ourselves upon the certainty of God. When we don't know what the future holds, we value the faithful stability of God so much more. We learn to trust him so much more when we can't handle ourselves. We learn to value God, and we learn to value who he is more than just merely valuing what he can give us. We learn to value him because of the fact that he is the one that we're walking by with faith, and we value him because of, heck, we need him, instead of just saying, Lord, I value you because of what you can give me. True friendship is learned as you grow closer and spend time with him. But as you think about this, faith is also tested. Well, faith is not just easy to guess, hey, let's just do it. Simply put, you just follow what the Lord wants you to do. But faith will be tested. You see in the story of Abraham, God brings tests into a Christian's life. Why would God do that? Why can't God just keep it simple? Why can God just, because you're not going to enjoy the journey unless you see the flaws that are in your life. You see the heartaches and the things that's keeping you away from him. Abraham had to learn when he visited that famine, that time of uncertainty. He had to learn to trust in the Lord and to be honest. He had to learn to deal with family situation when Lot came up. He had to learn to deal with thing after thing and all these times of testing. What does it do? It shows us where our flaws are at. Under the pressure of testing, weak faith crumbles. It gives us the opportunity to turn to the Lord for grace, to strengthen our faith. God is never going to hurt us. Intentionally, he's not going, his goal in life, God's goal in life is not to say, how can I hurt them? How can I cause them? No, he wants to help us. And when these things happen in our life, it's by even the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen next. Believe in him. Trust in him. Adrian Rogers puts it this way, a faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. A faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. It's one thing to say I have faith. It's a whole other thing to actually act like you have faith under pressure. I have faith. I have great faith. But when our faith is tested, and as I see these stories, it encourages me that the friend of God faltered. It's like, you thankful that Abraham failed? Well, we all fail. Because sometimes you read guys like Daniel, and you read guys like Joseph, and you're thinking, man, did they ever do anything wrong? Yes, we're all sinners. But Abraham, the one that was known as the father of all those that were going to believe, talked about that he's referred to as the father of all them that believe, he faltered. And yes, I'm not excited at the fact that he faltered, but I'm thankful that God shows us that so that way we can see and we can learn. Very quickly, think about a few times when Abraham's faith was tested. I alluded to it already. It was tested during uncertain times. If you go to verse number 13 in chapter number 12, it says, so I pray thee, he's talking to his wife, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for my sake, and for thy soul shall live because of thee. Abraham's wife, Sarah, is supposed to be really beautiful, extremely beautiful, that he was worried that the Egyptians were going to kill him to take his wife. And so it's during a time of famine, during a time of uncertainty, Abraham learns that his faith is not super strong. He turns to trying to figure out things on his own. And that's the danger of when uncertainty happens, when there's a test, we become more focused on how to get out of the situation than we do about honoring God. Hey, there's a test here. How can I figure this out? Abraham should have just trusted the Lord. He should have walked by faith. Instead, we try to figure out on our own. Instead of working by faith, walking by faith, not by sight, we work by sight, just hoping that our faith will not go away. We begin to trust our own reasoning. But our own reasoning is limited and very weak. Think about the test he had with his family in Genesis chapter 13. It talks about the problems that Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen had. And I tell you, one of the great challenging times in our life, and we don't have time to develop all the way, but is when we're tested with family issues. Like we talked about this morning, yes, family is important. We're supposed to love our family, but our relationship with the Lord should not take a back seat to our family. And we got to realize in this that sometimes family situations are going to come up that's going to test us. And we see Abraham taking steps of faith by telling Lot, you choose which one you want. And as that time, what does Abraham do? Abraham is lifted up and he's trusted the Lord, but also he demonstrates to Lot kindness, generosity, and love. Things that Lot can look back to and say, I remember what Abraham did. Did Lot get it? It doesn't seem like he did. He doesn't seem like he learned his lesson. Even when he was captured, and Abraham saves him and saves the family and saves the rest of those from Sodom and Gomorrah and all those things, doesn't seem like Lot gets it. Maybe he was a little bit of a hardhead. I don't know. But Abraham, God says to him, look, at the end, after he's captured and Lot heads on back, he says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He says, don't be focused on what Lot has or what you're missing. Remember that waiting can also be a test of faith. So what do you mean by waiting? Those 25 years is something that would have tested his faith. And what did Abraham do during those years? At one point in time, he failed to trust God. For sake of time, we won't read it all, but most of you know the story. Him and his wife, they turned to Hagar. They, instead of trusting in God, when our when we have to wait sometimes, our faith is tested. We try to help God out. We try to say, okay, God, maybe you're not seeing what's going on here. Let me go ahead and do this for you. That's not how you enjoy the journey. Enjoying the journey is when you trust in the Lord of all thine heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Abraham had a lapse of faith. Abraham had the opportunity to stay faithful and strong, but instead, he doesn't. We have to fast forward through this a little bit. Consider Abraham's journey. He continues on, and he finally, at the age of 100, is going to have a child. Sarah laughs. I don't blame Sarah. Even Abraham at one point in time had laughed. And God over and over reminded him, hey, look, you're going to have this child. Don't miss out on this. James 1:3 puts this, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work that you may be perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. Don't mess up what God's trying to do with fleshly intervention. Don't mess up what God is trying to do by having a lack of faith. Instead, believe and trust in him. You do not have to know what's going to happen tomorrow. All you need to do is that you can trust him today. Probably the greatest way we saw his faith was tested was when in Genesis chapter 22. If you want to flip over, you can. In Genesis chapter 22, he's told to offer up Isaac. Faith is tested about what we love. Or faith is tested about what you love. Genesis 22:2, the Bible says, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of those of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Do you believe that? He asked for Isaac. What is he doing? He's testing his faith. Doesn't God know that he's going to trust him? He does. What is he doing? He's revealing to Abraham, hey, you love me. You love me more than you love Isaac. Are you willing to trust me with the thing that is most important to you? It shows that how much we love the Lord when he tests us with those things that we love and we see how much we truly love him versus those other things we want to hold on to so tightly. I was reading in the story, Paul Chappell was the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church out in Lancaster, California. And he wrote this story about his son that had cancer. They didn't know if he was going to make it. He says, after extensive surgeries and that brought on serious complications and a already weakened condition, his son had to start chemo. While sharing with a friend how afraid I felt for Larry and what the future might hold, this friend asked me a question. He says, I frankly didn't want to hear the question. Have you ever had an Abraham moment when you completely yielded Larry, which is his son's name, to the Lord? He said, I didn't know how to answer him. I wanted to sound godly and say, of course, whatever God wants is what I want. But I hadn't had that moment. Wasn't even sure if I could or wanted to. I didn't want God to take my son. A day or two later, Terry and I were in our kitchen talking as usual, and about Larry, and as usual, crying. He says, I mentioned the question my friend had posed about an Abraham moment and asked Terry, have you had that moment? He says, I'm not sure what I expected her to say. And although Terry is often a stronger Christian than I am, I think I wanted her to tell me that my friend's question was irrational and that God would never expect us to fully release Larry to him like that. But Terry didn't flinch. I have, she said. I pray that God heals her son, but I told him I trust him to do what is best. It was Terry's faith that strengthened me to yield Larry and the outcome of his cancer battle to the Lord, fully trusting that he would do what was best. Some of you know God did heal Larry, and they're thankful for that every day. He says, I don't think I'd ever forget the excruciating pain of coming to the point of complete trust. I think of it every time when I read through the story of Abraham's unrecorded pain as he hears God call to him about the sacrifice of his son, to lay him down on an altar and to thrust him through with a knife. Surely as Abraham heard God's instruction, he felt a gut-wrenching pain. But whatever anguish he felt, he didn't hesitate. Bible says he even got up early in the morning to do as the Lord commanded. You say, how could someone do that? Well, the New Testament gives us a little bit of a glimpse of that. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, his future, his hope, accounting, now listen to this, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He believed that God could raise him up from the dead. But nowhere in the Bible was it recorded that someone had been raised from the dead. Nowhere in history is it recorded before Abraham that someone had been raised from the dead. He just trusted God. He believed God that Isaac was going to be that one that was going to come. By faith, he was willing to do these things. So how do we learn to live by faith? Or how do we enjoy the journey? Or how do we overcome the unknown? It's simply trusting the Lord, believing in him, even when there's uncertainty. When we see the story of Abraham, it reminds us how many times we get messed up by just some little things. We're fearful in the unknown. What about this happening? What about this happening? I got to know this or I'm not going to do it. That's the wrong way of looking at it. What does God want us to do? That's how we should do it. And we trust him for his provision. This morning, I've read this in our Sunday school class about provision, because we shouldn't worry about provision. And I thought it was good. And I'm going to read it and we'll be done. He says, the preacher wrote this. He says, I don't know why it surprises me when my Heavenly Father answers prayer. But in all honesty, sometimes it does. It shouldn't. He's promised to provide for my every need. As a matter of fact, he has invited me to lay aside the most minuscule of my necessities on the altar of his provision. Take no thought for your life, he says. But I occasionally think. Cast all your care upon me, he says. But sometimes I carry the load. It is during those most vulnerable moments of faith that he graciously and daily reminds me that he is Jehovah Jireh. Being shocked by his provision is no more absurd than my son being shocked that he slept under my roof last night or ate from my pantry this morning. My child is not surprised by my provision. That is the role I have assumed in my life and his life by being his father. Thankful and grateful he is, but rarely shocked. A falling child is never shocked that his father catches him. He is surprised when his father does not. I thought about that. And as thankful and as grateful as my sons are, there are certain things that we've taken care of them when they were younger, especially. They never had to say, I wonder if there's going to be food for me to eat. Now, sometimes I wonder whether or not mom's going to cook something or if it's something I like. But they've never, even though they've been thankful and grateful, they were never surprised. Oh, wow, we get dinner tonight. Of course, you get dinner every night. Oh, wow, we get to sleep in her room tonight inside of her bed. Of course, that's because that's what we are supposed to provide for you. As simple as that sounds, as absurd as it would be that they be shocked, how come we're shocked when God is providing for us and providing for our needs? Father sometimes throws their child up in the air and catches them. Not shocked that they're catching them. We'd be shocked that they threw them up in the air and stepped back and let the child fall. Isn't that sometimes what we think God is doing with us when we're afraid of the unknown? I want you to take the step of faith. I think you're going to let me fall, God. I think you're not going to catch me. We can trust an earthly father. We can trust an earthly friend. But he says, I want you to take this journey with me. Yes, it's a journey of faith. Yes, the unknown is there. Don't be afraid of the unknown. I'm going to go with you. And as simple as the illustration might be about embracing the feeling, that's what enjoys a roller coaster. Embrace the fact that you don't know what the uncertainty is, but that you have a God that's in complete control. And he's promised that he can do things that are abundantly above things that you even think about or ask. So he's calling us to have a journey of faith. Don't let the fear of the unknown stop you from being the friend of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Lord, I am sorrowful for the times I've let the fear of the unknown stop me from doing what I know I'm supposed to do. Lord, I pray that I leaned on you, that I let you direct my steps. Lord, not in my own understanding, but by walk by faith, believing and trusting. If there's something that I'm trying to invent or something I'm trying to help you out with because of the fact I don't think you're answering like you should, or if there's a time like a famine that I'm not completely trusting you and I'm figuring out things for myself, well, I don't want that. I want it to be a blessed life, one that I learned to become a good friend of God because I've seen how much you've trusted me, trusted and took care of me, and how much I've been able to depend upon you. Many of our good friends that we have in this world are people that we know we can trust in and that we know we can depend on. We know they're going to be there. And Lord, sometimes I feel as if that relationship I have with you is not as strong as it should be because of the fact that I don't trust you like I should. I'm afraid that you're going to let me fall. I'm surprised when you take care of me. Lord, help my life not to be that way. Help us each tonight to embrace the journey, to enjoy the journey, so that way we could also be considered a friend of God. Help our faith not to be something that we just talk about, but instead we be active with. Help us to take that first step and help us to expect that God is going to work. And when our faith is tested and tried, help us to see where we fail and learn from it. And when you ask for the thing that we love the most, help us not to be surprised when you provide something even greater. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Speak to people's hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.